The views expressed do not reflect the opinions of the University of Alberta, the Students' Union, or CJSR. Sometimes they don't even represent the views of the host.
Listening to Q Transmissions.
New theme song.
Edmonton's only skeptical talk show. Yeah, we're test driving a new theme song. We're here today, as always, with Heather.
Hi.
And also with Jeff Anderson and Lisa and Jeff Federko. They're members of Edmonton's Cursed or Haunted Observation and Examination Services, otherwise known as ECHOES. Yes, Edmonton has ghost hunters. Who knew? But before we get to them, let's announce the song contest winner.
Oh my god, oh my god.
So thanks so much to the people who entered. We appreciate that. You are all awesome. And but the people have spoken. They voted. And the winning entry was number 4, submitted by David Kleimenhage. Let's take a listen.
I don't believe in Yahweh, Buddha, Ganesh, Zeus, or Allah. And I don't believe in limbo, Hades, heaven, or Valhalla. I don't believe in Brahma, Karma, Rama, Thor, or Jupiter. I've studied both the testaments, but I can't say which is stupider. I've got no time for Odin, Sirius, Poison, or King Gu. They're as fictional as Sherlock Holmes or Arthur Dent or Pingu. Venus, Saturn, Mercury, and Mars provoke my laughter. The only thing that gods are good for is to name the planets after. I think that Christianity, Islam, and Scientology are all a scam that preys upon a quirk of our psychology. I care not if you curse me in the name of Baal or Shiva, for I am the very model of a fervent unbeliever. I thoroughly despise the likes of Donahue and Baker. I posit that the Eucharist is just a frackin' cracker. All many people call me an insufferable know-it-all. They're equally dismissive when it comes to Quetzalcoatl. I don't need any mantra, tantra, deity, or diva, for I am the very model of a fervent unbeliever.
That was so creepy and awesome.
I love that. Very Leonard Cohen-esque.
Like if he were in the desert. Don't you think?
Yeah, yeah. With a serious case of dry mouth.
That too.
So yes, that was the winner, but it was a really tight contest. I was checking all week, and it was really tight, people. It was really close right till the end. And so I think maybe we'll play the running up entry. Let's see if you can tell who it is.
I don't believe in Yahweh, Buddha, Ganesh, Zeus, or Allah. I don't believe in Limbo, Hades, Heaven, or Valhalla. I don't believe in Brahma, Karma, Rama, Thor, or Jupiter. I've studied both the testaments and can't say which is stupider. I've got no time for Odin, Ceres, Poseidon, or King. There is fictional as Sherlock Holmes or Arthur Dent or Pingu. Venus, Saturn, Mercury, and Mars provoke my laughter. The one thing gods are good for is to name the planets after. I think that Christianity, Islam, and Scientology are all a scam that preys upon a quirk of our psychology. I care not if you curse me in the name of Baal or Shiva, for I am the very model of a fervent unbeliever. I don't believe in Atlas, Baldur, Freya, Yam, or Hester, or in reincarnation because when you die you're faster. And I think the Holy Spirit as nonsensical as Frigg is. I'll happily eat lobsters, cows, and tasty little piggies. I thoroughly despise the likes of Donahue and Backer. I posit that the Eucharist is just a fracking cracker. Though many people call me an insufferable know-it-all, they are equally dismissive when it comes to Quetzalcoatl. The song is done, so here's hoping everybody listens. I sung this for my favorite show. It's called Key Transmissions. So tune in Friday 6 to 7 for Desiree and Heather, for I am the very model of a fervent unbeliever.
He is the very model of a fervent unbeliever.
Oh, thank you, Nathan. That was great. And thanks again to everybody who entered and to everyone who took the time to vote. David, we'll give you a call tomorrow, and we'll talk about your press. So on to paranormal investigations.
Callers, I don't mean to change the subject, but what do atheists say when they're throwing up? They, blank.
Just like everybody else.
Oh, I'll never drink again, blank.
That's a good point. I'll watch for that.
There's no such thing as an atheist in a foxhole, nor is there an atheist near porcelain.
Yeah,
that's updated.
Right.
Okay, we'll go with that.
So that person who was speaking is Jeff Anderson. Welcome, Jeff.
Thank you very much.
He's actually Echo's production planner and lead investigator. So, first of all, tell us a little bit about what Echo's does.
Well, there's a current craze all around the world. People everywhere are looking for ghosts. And we just, actually last year, before the TV shows even started coming on TV, I noticed on her bookshelf that she always had stuff, Lisa I'm talking about, that she always had cool books on her bookshelf that had vampires. And I always forever, hey, can I borrow this one? Sure. Can I borrow this one? Sure. And I bring them back and take out another one. And I said to her one day, you know, you watch this Ghost Hunter stuff? And she said, yeah. So we should go out and have fun. We should take that walking tour of Strathcona. And so we kind of realized that we're both really into it without ever having talked about it. And then we took that stupid walking tour, which was awesome. And after that, we should go out one night and just put the recorder down and see what we get. And she says, oh, we used to have ghosts at my school. So we went there. And then we stayed till like 5 o'clock in the morning, just cruising around Edmonton. And yeah, it was pretty cool.
Okay, so that's how this started.
Yeah, the whole car wreck got started, yeah.
So, what's your role specifically in the group? What does lead investigator mean?
Lead investigator just means that it was Lisa and I that put the group together. So, we have friends in the city here who are also into this, and they're really good friends. Her name is Morgan, and she's the leader of a group called Entity Seeker. And we saw that there was this course for how to go to a haunting without making it worse was the basics. And we thought, well, that's definitely what we want. The last thing you want to do is start out with, you know, some happy little tale and end up with the Amityville Horror because we spurred it on. So we went to that course, and then they had another one. We went to that one, and we realized that there's a lot more to it than just, you know, go into the house with your tools that you saw on TV. And so we made it a rule that if you want to come with us as an Echo member on an investigation, you have to take all those courses too. So lead investigators right now just mean we've taken all these courses. Well, not all these courses, but we've gone to these courses and we have direct, like I have Morgan on my speed dial, so that if I do get in trouble, I have somebody qualified to come and help or to tell us what to do or something like that. Right now, lead investigator just means we were the founding members of the group, and we're the ones with the guts to do it.
All right. So this is just a hobby for you then, though?
It is just
a hobby. You all have day jobs.
We all have day jobs. Our number one rule is that we never charge for anything that we do, but we kind of hope to keep the evidence if we find any. I mean, we're all just searchers. I'm not some book-pounding psycho who says, they're real, you have to believe me. I'm just looking for an answer. I mean, I'm just a guy on a ball of mud, and I hope there's more to it than that. So I'm going to go find out for myself, because I can't trust anybody else's answer.
Well put. Speaking of searching, there's inherent in the searching process, it seems, within the paranormal community is equipment. So
yes and no.
Okay, yes and no?
Yeah, yes and no. I mean, you can't be everywhere, okay? Recently, last fall, we took a trip out of town to a small compared to Edmonton, about 50,000 people in southern Saskatchewan. And they have there a building that is bigger than West Edmonton Mall and turn of the century old. And when it was completed, it was the largest building in the British Empire. So, and it's the Weyburn Mental Hospital. Mm. I mean, you've never seen anything like this thing. If you take One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and make it completely abandoned and absolutely pitch black dark and then go crawling through every nook and cranny, you're walking through and you realize that you're in the segregation wing where you can see where they took the inside door off. Now, if we read history on the way down there. Lisa had printed a bunch out and we read it. And when you realize that you're in a room that had a heavy metal door with a sliding trap and then a bars door on the inside so they could open the metal door and put the hose to the people inside because they couldn't open that door for fear of them getting out. When you close yourself in that room, you don't care if you believe in ghosts or not. I mean, we went through that place and we were all very good. Everyone was strong. No one got freaked out too bad. But when I closed that door, 30 seconds, and I could feel the dark pressing in. And I tell you, there may not be ghosts, but you feel electricity in a room like that. And there's no questioning that there's got to be more to the world than just this.
Well, just being in a place like that where you know just horrible, tragic things have happened, I can definitely understand how
horrendous
that would weigh on you.
Yep.
Absolutely.
How long were you in that facility?
6 hours, I believe. We went in about 5 o'clock and we got out, or I think it was around 11 that we finished up in there. We just went through as quick as we could. We left a little bit of equipment. That's what the question was about. We left a little bit of equipment around in there, and like I said, you can't be everywhere. So we set up the video camera to hopefully, there was a story that a woman in black had been witnessed passing between these two wings.
How could you tell if it's dark?
Well, since we got in there and it was still evening, actually, as you watch the tape, you can see it. It starts out and you can see the reflection of the window on the floor and the light coming through the doorway. And as it, if you fast forward it, it would just go, and you can see the dark. It's really cool. But we are hoping to catch this woman in black. You can't just sit there because you're on a limited time. There's only 3 of us. So we set up the video recorder. At the same time, I had left a digital audio recorder. Lots of people subscribe to the ideas of EVP. Mm-hmm. I have captured something that I couldn't explain, but it's so ambiguous that I can't say, look, I have proof. But I left it at the front door because I thought of all the places in there, the worst place is going to be the front door. Honey, I'm not coming back for you. This is the early 1900s, and I don't want to be married to you anymore, and I think you're crazy. And doctor, I'm a man, she's a woman, I'm signing her in, and I'll see you.
Yep.
So I figured of anywhere, you're going to hear the haunting echoes of the damned being locked in. Goodbye, I'm leaving you here. And unfortunately, all I got was people outside trying to break in. they tend to be a lot louder than, you know, echoes from a 1,000 years ago. But we didn't catch the black lady walking through the walls or through the entryway, but something did appear on the video. Now, we were still in the area, so was it a reflection from one of our lights? Maybe. Mm-hmm. It doesn't look like it. The John Carpenter flicks, they always have the lights with the long beams sticking out the sides. And he's good at playing the trick of the lights. M. Night Shyamalan does it too. He's got the trick of the lights that he plays.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking
about,
yeah.
On this, it doesn't look like any of those tricks of the lights that you've seen in the movies. It looks like a ribbon of light slowly trickles down in front of the camera and goes out of view. It doesn't look like somebody flashed a light in the other room and it flickered off the edge. It looks like a ribbon of light just floats through
the shot. Well, and I've been watching a lot of really interesting, you know, paranormally related, supernaturally oriented videos, and there are definitely some that I watch that I wouldn't be able to explain it. But of course, I'm not an expert in photographic techniques or the paranormal, so that defeats that. But I'd actually like to go back to EVP for a second, because
sure,
that's something I'm really interested
sure
in. Sure. How about you explain EVP to people?
EVP. The whole basis of the concept of echoes, it's not just the acronym. I got the idea in my head that in the same way that sound will bounce off of a plane and come back to you, that is an echo. Well, sound is just one wavelength of energy. They say sound doesn't travel through space. Well, of course it does. It just has no medium in which to play against your eardrum, but it's still there. It's just a wavelength of energy. So if you take that same concept to an event like Dr. King getting shot, that outpouring of energy at that moment must echo in some plane of existence. It's still energy. It can't be destroyed or it can't be created or destroyed.
And this is able to be taped.
Yes. Well, and I got the idea that perhaps these events will bounce off of their equivalent of a solid wall and happen and echo again. Lots of in the industry call it residual haunting. That's where something happens and happens and happens and happens. Well, isn't that what an echo is? It's just sound happening over and over. So EVP is, I'm hoping, just an echo of that sound that's trapped somewhere else. So by recording sounds at extremely low volumes, we can hear things that normally we can't hear. You can't necessarily see some things, but if you slow the tape down, you can see it. Mm. So if you record nothing and then listen to it and hear something, it has to come from somewhere. So that could possibly be the electronic voice phenomenon, or EVP. And the sound that we recorded outside of Lisa's old school was not me. And I was the only person within 80 feet.
Well, and this is, you're talking about recording nothing. But there are, you know, there are different sounds that could occur while you're not there.
Right.
There are, you know, various, you know, flaws in the tape sometimes. There are other reasons besides EVP. So
100%
how do you figure out what's EVP and what's not?
Well, you listen to it. I mean, you know in your heart, if you hear something that sounds, that sounded like Mom opening the back door and calling Billy from five blocks away, you know the difference between that and something that goes in your face.
Well, not necessarily. That's what I find interesting, because I was looking at a study where some researchers used a mathematical function to basically create sounds that were gibberish.
Right.
And then they brought test subjects in, and the test subjects thought they heard whole sentences within this stream of gibberish.
And once one person hears it, everybody starts to.
Well, and this is the thing. It's natural for humans to try and find patterns when there's actually no patterns there, when something is completely random.
Right.
So how connected do you think that is to EVP?
Again, this is the whole believer, non-believer. I mean, I've heard a couple of EVPs that were not anybody making gibberish sounds. Morgan played us one that is a scream that literally materialized out of nothing between them. A group of people standing in a circle, and the sound came on in the middle of them by itself and went away again. It didn't echo. It didn't anything. It just happened and was gone. And they got it on tape. And they all said, "Was that you? Was that you? Wasn't me." So.
And a lot of this stuff, it's really hard because they aren't controlled situations.
Correct.
So even though everybody, and I'm not saying necessarily that one of those people screamed, but the problem is that you can't discount it.
Absolutely.
You cannot. So it makes it frustrating.
I want to jump in really quick. In case you didn't say already, what's your URL for your website? There's videos on there people can check out.
All of our pictures are on our website. It is zedmonton.org. That's Edmonton with a Z in front of it. And when you get there, it's like a gateway. It leads from there to either the paranormal investigation site or the disaster management site. All the pictures are posted on the website. The only video we have is on YouTube. I didn't want to pitch it earlier, but it's called Orb at Weyburn. Weyburn, Orb at Weyburn. Look it up and have a look for yourself. I don't know what it is, but I know it's something that
I'm
going to
watch
cool.
It right now. Are you going to put any of the soundy bits on the website?
That short EVP that I think I got is on the website. I'm pretty sure it is, but I'm not 100% positive of where we could find it. Maybe it's on the downloads page.
Okay.
If it's not, it will be tonight.
Again, anybody who wants to call in, 492-2577, extension 1, or at q@cjsr.com.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering about EMF meters, speaking of
that's a
tech.
That's a fun one. EMF is electromagnetic frequencies. everything carries an electrical signature. About 20 years ago, I remember when I was a kid, and on 2020, they showed pictures of a man dying. And they took pictures that measured the electric frequency, and he was lit. The light was lifting off him. The light was up in the air, and the light was gone. And he died. That's when he died. So people got the idea in their head that everything carries an electric signature. Well, like we said earlier, ghosts are just energy. Sound is energy. Ghosts are energy. So if you're holding an EMF, electromagnetic frequencies, and you're next to an old-fashioned cathode ray television, that sucker's going to hum. But if you're in the middle of an abandoned mental hospital, just to pick something at will, if you're in an abandoned mental hospital near no obvious signs of electricity and the power is off to the entire building and you start to pick up an electromagnetic frequency, it's got to be something. The first thing you do is eliminate your variables. Is your cell phone off? We all turned off our phones for while we were in there. Is your flashlight off? Because if certain flashlights aimed at the certain direction will set that thing off. Okay, now we've gotten to the point where there's nobody using anything electricity. There's nobody using a cell phone, nothing. But this thing is still starting to spike. You get low-level electric fields out of nothing. That has to make somebody think, okay, there's an energy source here that is not us and is not handheld or an electronic device. Where's the energy coming from? It can be anything. If you're under major overhead power lines, it could even set it off because these things are crazy sensitive. A few times we had a couple of spikes in there, which made us think perhaps we were within range of something, an electric signature. We tried to talk to it, which is one of the ways that an EMF is used. In the big ghost hunter guys, if they find something, they've had situations where they put it on the table and everyone stands away from it and says, if you're here, make it blink twice. And it blinks twice. And, okay, we're going to use two for yes and one for no. Is that okay with you? And it blinks twice. And do you live here? And it blinks twice. And did you always live here? And it blinks once. And then they start getting yes and no answers out of it. So that's EMF measures the ambient electricity. And if they carry on as energy, as we hope they do, that's one way of measuring them or communicating.
I guess I'm confused by that because EMF meters, and the one you have pictured on your website is an AC, which is only supposed to pick up man-made electromagnetic fields, right? So do ghosts have man-made fields? How do we know that they have
man-made fields? But it's... it's another believer, non-believer thing. If I ask dead air, who on the radio? Bad. If I ask
empty air. It's like break your leg or something on stage.
If I asked empty air, if it was there and that thing flashed twice without anything moving towards it or away from it, what made it go? I guess it's simple. Do you understand how a magnet works? But it does. So, you know, that's...
I'm just wondering how much of that can be attributed to chance. Like, before you asked those questions, was it blinking at all?
I've personally never had the fortune. But it would be like any science experiment. And that's really all we are. We're just amateur scientists. So if I was just sitting there watching it and it flashing, and I thought, hey, that's cool, it's flashing, that would be one thing. But you start to remove variables once you start asking questions and you start, like a fishbone chart, you start to go right and then left and then right and then left. And if it continues to follow, it has to come down sooner or later to, okay, that was not chance. It may not be what we want it to be. It may not be communications from beyond the grave, but it may not be chance.
We have an email from some Canadian skeptic, and he points out that sound is not energy. Sound is a pressure wave that requires a medium in which to propagate. I don't know if he means propagate. And he said he might call in. Let's hope that's him. How do you respond to that, Jeff?
Then why is it measured in megahertz? It's electricity. It's a type of energy, right? It's just a form of energy. If they can read it, if they can measure it, it has to be a form of energy.
Hertz is a measurement of frequency.
We have our photographer with a comment. No, come on in, Mark.
Hi, sorry about that. I just wanted to mention that hertz, like when you're measuring hertz, you're measuring a frequency, like how fast something's happening. So it's not in and of itself a form of energy, as I think you were mentioning.
Thanks, okay. Mark. See, this is why we have photographers. It's not the pictures. It's additional input. All right, do we have someone on the line?
I believe we do. Go ahead, caller.
Hello?
Hi. Why'd you even have to write that down? Yeah,
hello, Nathan.
For some reason, I cannot hear the show through my phone again. So I am listening through my radio.
Okay, what's your question or comment?
Well, some Canadian skeptic actually hit one of them in that email you just read.
Mm-hmm.
The other one was that you keep going back to the show Ghost Hunters, right?
I've seen the show.
Yeah. You may be interested to look up the Skeptical Analysis of the Paranormal Society, run by a woman named by the name of Allison Smith with the James Randi Educational Foundation.
Okay.
She actually found a lot of creative editing in the Ghost Hunters show. What they tend to do is they tend to edit out the hits and edit out the misses.
That would be
and
perverse.
Why would they do that?
Yeah.
Well, I can say this. If any place in this entire universe was ever going to have a beast that came out of the dark and grabbed me by the arm and shook me around and made me believe, it would have been Weyburn Mental Hospital, and I didn't see a thing. I am not some fishhook in my lip guy who went, I saw it on Ghost Hunters, so I gotta be real. Honestly, I have never seen anything on Ghost Hunters that made me go, oh, that's it. I don't have to search anymore because I know the truth now. I used to watch Most Haunted, and I got so tired of watching their obvious it was complete bunk,
yeah.
That I don't even watch any show like that anymore. I like the Ghost Hunters people. I like the guy, like that Jay guy with the bald guy. Nothing.
No prejudice there?
No prejudice.
We have a bald man in the studio.
I don't,
for reference.
For a second, I'm not a sucker. And honestly, when I walked into rooms in that Weyburn Hospital, I thought, okay, if there's going to be anything here, this is the room. And I walked through that room, and I'm here to tell the tale. So... You know,
and there's no doubting that a hospital that's been condemned, that will certainly be a rather creepy experience, whether you're a believer or not.
It was a tremendously creepy event. And honestly, that Ghost Hunters, I watch it and I see things like, oh, I think I heard something. And then immediately thereafter, someone else felt someone touch them. Well, you know, if one of us in Weyburn had freaked out, I have absolute faith that somebody else would have felt something touch them, because once you get that acutely freaked, every little breath of air or twinkle of light will be something. And we just didn't let it get to us, and we walked out of there and came home and went, well, we went to a place before it got torn down, and it's almost 100 years old. We'll never get another experience like it, and amen. That's cool.
Good call.
Okay. Well, I'll let you guys get back to it.
Bye, Nathan. Bye.
Have a good night. And on that note, we're going to play a couple of ads.
Hi, everyone. This is Jennifer Michael Hecht, author of Doubt, a history of atheism and philosophical questioning all over the world throughout time, and the happiness myth, which does all that to the present. Welcome to Q Transmissions on CJSR.
You are listening to Q Transmissions on CJSR, Edmonton's only skeptical call-in radio show. Heather and Desiree have the phone lines open, so call 492-CJSR, extension 1. Once again, that is 780-492-2577, extension 1.
And we are back.
And we are now.
Now we're back.
We're here now. We have three, actually, of the team in the studio. So Jeff's gone. We've brought Lisa out. And... she's another lead investigator with Echoes. Welcome.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Again, the phone lines are open at 492-2577, extension 1, or email a question at q@cjsr.com. So in the bio that you sent me, you said, I have had too many personal experiences to hang on the side of non-believer. Can you tell us about one of those experiences?
Sure. I'll tell you about the one that keeps me most interested at this level. You met my daughter out there. She's just about three. When I had her, she was probably 5 months. And awake. Daddy has to get up early in the morning. I took her into the spare room, and I was trying to calm her down so we could get her to sleep so I could go to sleep. She finally settled down around midnight, and I put her in her room. And as I was coming back from the bedroom, I kind of got really dizzy, lightheaded, didn't feel very good. Shook it off, said, oh, I'm just, you know, sleep deprived like any new mom. Laid down in my bed, and I closed my eyes, and I felt like somebody was staring intently at me. And I opened my eyes, and there was a little blonde boy standing right beside the bed, young, maybe four, I don't know. And he reached out and touched my cheek, and he said, Mommy. I burst into tears. I had just miscarried a boy the month before. I wiped my eyes. I looked. He was gone. Everyone can say, you're asleep and you're sleep deprived. Fair enough. I certainly feel like I was wide awake. And I pretty much stayed awake for the rest of the night too, let me tell you.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'm one with the soup. Yeah. So interesting. You implied in your email that you've had a lot of experiences like this.
I did go to a local school that has, it's been written in a popular book, Alberta Ghost Stories, and was on stage crew there, worked a lot with the lighting and stuff like that. They have their own legend about a little girl having been accidentally killed on stage and still remains there to this day. Did some research, found out they did actually call someone in to try and get rid of her. It didn't work. Just a lot of folklore in the school. I've had my own personal experiences being in the school, getting stuck in the elevator. The elevator is one of the things that they say, very common. She likes to play around with the elevator. Electrician will get called in because the elevator is acting up. He doesn't find anything wrong, thinks we're all crazy. So,
interesting. Okay. Well, if you continue to have these experiences, what conclusion does that bring you to?
I just feel like that's why we investigate. There's something else out there. I want to know what happens. I'm not nailed down to any specific religion. I can't say that I buy into the whole we die, we go to heaven, or if we're bad, we go to hell. I don't know where we go, so I'd like to find out before I get there myself, but, you know, I don't know if we're going to find out before I get there, but it'd be kind of cool.
Well, do you consider yourself sensitive to this kind of stuff?
I do consider myself an empathic person with other people in the room as well as with energies in the room. That's my own philosophy, that I do seem a little more sensitive with what's happening in a room, even with people I don't know at all.
Does that lead you to have a rather specific role within Echoes?
Jeff Anderson has asked me on occasion, how does the room feel? Like, how do you feel right now? And, you know, walking through certain places, I can say, you know, my stomach's upset or I don't feel very good, and not knowing the history before. And then we find out later some history and you're kind of like, oh, hey, well, that kind of fits the bill. Like, no wonder I didn't feel so good. If that was happening in real lifetime, I wouldn't feel good, or, you know.
Well, on your website, somebody actually mentioned they posted a picture of orbs, and they said at one point that you had called to them. What does that mean?
That was Jeff Anderson's pictures when we went on one of the ghost tours, and we were sitting in a reputed to be haunted local pub. And we were all taking pictures of the one corner, this bank bench area, and people were getting maybe something, maybe not. And Jeff, like I said, I feel like I have an empathic ability. And so he said, well, why don't you go sit in the corner and you just tell them, come sit with me, come talk to me. So I went and sat in the corner and I'm like, come on, come sit with me. My friend wants to take your picture. And sure enough, you know, everybody who was standing with him, then all of a sudden we did get a lot more pictures with anomalies in them. We'll call them anomalies because we really don't know what they are. So,
Well, on that note, it seems like there's quite a bit of controversy within the paranormal community as to orbs, because some people say they're balls of energy and they can be seen and they can be photographed, and then some people will say things like, there are spots on the glass.
They're dust. There's a link on our Facebook page, actually, that has a... it's to this great website in Louisiana. That's actually, it's Paranormal Investigations in Louisiana. And they've taken a whole bunch of pictures of, they've sprayed Windex into the air. Mm. And they said, this is Windex. This is water. This is snow. This is dust. Mm. This is a bug. And if you're the average person was just taking a picture, you'd be like, whoa, what is that? You know, but when you compare them to these, then you're like, oh, oops, I guess it was raining that day. Yeah, I remember now. It was kind of wet. So, you know, but then there's other things where you take a picture and you're like, well, that shouldn't, you know, I'm indoors, so it's not wet. I didn't just clean. Mm. I don't see any bugs. I don't know. There could be fruit flies. So I'm a little more than 50-50, but yeah, it could be anything.
What's the, if I may, what's the explanation from a paranormal investigator's point of view as to what's occurring? If we assume that it is a manifestation of something supernatural, what's going on?
Okay, if you're going to err on the side of it is paranormal, then certainly it's the ball of energy is trying to manifest. And so that's, some people say that's like an entry level manifestation, that's the first level they attain. There's certainly other levels of entity that have been documented out there. So some people say that that's an entry level of entity.
Do they say what physically is happening and why it's not visible to the naked eye, but it shows up on film or digital camera?
I haven't read anything, but I have my own theory as to why maybe orbs show up on film and not like floating through the studio right now for us to see. So my own theory is that people are jaded. When you're a children, do you ever hear this? Oh, don't say that out loud. People will think you're crazy. You know, like your mommy and your daddy always tell you, don't say that. Shh, shh. You know, don't say that. So eventually we grow up, we get older, we become completely jaded. We can no longer see these things. But it's said that children can see things. And my own child has talked to nothing. Literally, she could be talking to nothing. But how do I know? I'm personally not discouraging. I don't tell her, don't say that. Because I want to see what she comes up with. You know, I think it's a little more interesting if she sees something I don't.
And even if it's not for real, it's remarkable to hear children talk about things like that.
They do. They come out with the craziest things.
We have a phone call. Canadian Skeptic has called in. Are you there, sir?
Yeah, I am.
Go ahead.
Now, I've heard orbs and energy mentioned an awful lot tonight. I hear from the paranormal community an awful lot that word energy, which has a very specific meaning in the scientific concept. And that is the ability to do work. And yet, it's being supplanted into this orb mentality. And I guess I have sort of two kind of questions or points. I can't word it very well. The point is, how do you know that these orbs are not dust? Even if you can artificially create these dust orbs and say and take a picture with a flash and see, okay, well, there's a room full of dust, and that's what it looks like. But this, we didn't put the dust up there, so that's clearly not dust. So how do you know it? I mean, because there's an awful lot of dust in even the cleanest of places. So that's sort of my first kind of question. I mean, like,
let's get that one addressed, and then we'll go on to your next one.
Okay. Absolutely, it could be dust. Like I said, that link to the Louisiana site, they've also photographed dust. Dust has a very specific signature on film. It comes up almost like the slicing of a tree, a definite center and rings around it. That's what Fuji, Kodak, a lot of the other camera places, that is what they have determined to be dust. Doesn't mean something else couldn't be dust. I'm totally open to the possibility that everything I've ever photographed was dust.
Well, I guess sort of the follow-up question, I mean, has there been any attempts to take photographs without using a flash? For instance, put a camera in a room and just leave the exposure open for a minute or so.
Okay.
And see if these orbs still show up. Because in my experience, they only show up with a flash.
That's why I never get them. I never use flash.
Okay, I have taken a series of photographs of my daughter playing on her birthday, and by that time I had miscarried two children, and I didn't use a flash because my house was completely at perfect daylight, all lights in the house were on, and I do still have two following her, two little anomalies that were playing around with her balloon, and everywhere she went in the house, there were these two anomalies in the pictures, and I have them in my separate Facebook group that's a joint to our Echoes group.
Well, you say that it was taken during the day. Is it possible that it was sunlight reflecting off a piece of furniture or?
Absolutely, somewhere? It could have been. It was taken January 24th, so I mean, you dictate how much light there is in January about 2 o'clock. But yeah, it could have been completely.
And this is why there's such controversy within the paranormal community, is because even paranormal investigators will say, you know, okay, fine. We don't know. You're giving us the stick to beat ourselves with. We're going to stop promoting this. Have you gotten to that point or not quite?
No, not quite. I also have pictures of anomalies that are not white. A lot of people, when they have pictures of anomalies that they're describing as orbs, they're always white rings. I also have pictures of orange, yellow, pink, blue, red, purple, not perfectly round shaped anomalies. I have a whole collection of things that I wish I knew what they were because they're kind of cool pictures. So,
any more questions, caller?
Yeah, well, I've also heard a lot of using magnetic or electromagnetic field detectors.
The EMF meters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. And on the various ghost hunting shows, and I also went on a so-called ghost walk here in my hometown, Ontario, and he had the EMF detector, and he was waving it around going, "Oh, cow, there's some over here, oh." Sort of like the Ghostbusters thing, you know, that little ectoplasm meter with the two sticks coming out. And now the way electromagnetic field lines work is that they travel in lines, and you have to take them in three dimensions. You think you're reading point it straight forward, and then sideways, and then straight up, and then you take your reading, and then you move, and then you do it again. You got to be really thorough about it. Can't just sort of wave it around, because these field lines do move around erratically almost, and they're very hard to track. And I guess this is more of a question for the previous guest. I mean,
you're getting a nod here.
That's okay, though. Pretty much. No, but I agree with you that, I mean, that is, but I do have to say it's my own personal opinion that having been on two of the ghost tours in Edmonton, one of them was extremely dramatic. I'm not going to badmouth any which one, but one of them was extremely dramatic, and I happen to think that sometimes it's just more dramatic flair and going out and having a good time rather than maybe more of a scientific walk. So I'm thinking maybe you attended one of those more flamboyant productions.
Well, there certainly was some flamboyance, but I mean, like, I guess it's really difficult for me to take it all too seriously, because it's really hard to divorce the theatrics from the real science, because the previous guest said that he's an amateur scientist, and he used words like, it was just really creepy, or it's the difference between a believer and a non-believer. Well, that's fine, except that that's not science. And going on this amateur science excursion, that's not science either. If you want to go and be creeped out, hey, that's cool, that's fun. But it seems so easy to fall prey to these really excitable ideas of afterlife and ghosts, and ghosts who for some reason wear clothing and show up in little flash photography cameras. I mean, there's so much imagination that swirls around it, and there doesn't seem to be much of a serious effort to really divorce from that.
What would you say to that?
Fair enough. I guess all the ones that are on TV and all the ghost walks, their purpose is to entertain. And so, I mean, you don't see too many shows where it's strictly just four guys in lab coats in a room trying to determine something, that doesn't get the viewers, that doesn't get the money, it doesn't get...
Not yet.
Yep, that's
so, I mean, if you want to watch these shows, if you want to go on these tours, definitely they're for entertainment purposes only, in my opinion, and my hobby group is completely for my own entertainment as well.
Thank you, Canadian Skeptic.
Okay, thank you very much.
I'm sorry, Canadian Skeptic, you're in Ontario right now?
Yes, I am.
Lovely. Thank you very much for calling in.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And on that note, let's play an ad.
Ooh. Okay.
Oh, okay. Or she can wait
a
second.
No, we're ready.
This is Desiree, one of the hosts of Q Transmissions, Edmonton's only skeptical talk show. Next episode, we'll be speaking to Dr. P.Z. Myers, author of the science blog Pharyngula, Evolution, Development, and Random Biological Ejaculations from a Godless Liberal. We'll be speaking to P.Z. about creationism, fundamentalism, atheism, and how exactly one debates the existence of God. Join us on the next Q Transmissions, every Friday at 6 p.m., here on CJSR.
Yes, I had a lovely conversation with Dr. P.Z. Myers on Wednesday, and you will hear it next week. And it's the interview that I did with him is kind of a teaser for an event that he'll be speaking at on the 26th. He will be debating Kirk Dunstan from the University of Guelph about the existence of God. So we'll have more info on that event next week. And now we have the last of the ghost hunters in the studio with us. We're here with Jeff Federko.
Good evening, everyone.
And he's yet another lead investigator with Echoes. And he is the only one who mentioned in his bio that he was a skeptic. So callers, do call in 492-2577, extension 1, or email q@cjsr.com. So is the skeptic part an important distinction to you?
Very important.
Okay. Can you tell us about that?
It completes a group. Just like if you read the Bible, there's God, there's the devil, and in any religion, there's good and bad, and any group that works, well, you got to have believers and non-believers.
So does that give you a special role?
Yeah, I spend a lot of time trying to prove everything wrong. We see a picture or something, and I go back and say, I'm gonna recreate this. I try my hardest to recreate it to prove to everyone that, you know, this is just bunk. So...
Does that happen often?
So far, yeah.
Okay. Well, actually, even in, we've been talking about ghost hunters all night, and even on that show, in the first season, 21% of the places that they investigated ended up being haunted, according to them. So only 21% on a TV show,
yeah.
Which is interesting. So, and the rest, not so much. So do you have a lot of situations where you have to break it to people, gently or not, that... There's just nothing going
pretty
on
much,
here?
Pretty much, pretty much. I actually haven't been on an investigation yet that we've uncovered anything paranormal.
Interesting. Okay, how do they react to that when when they hear that's your opinion?
Everyone reacts in their own way. You're basically telling them that your belief is wrong, and that's, you know, well, you can't really say it's wrong, but you say, in my opinion, you know, you're going on saying... That it could be this, it could be that. And it's everything could be, and it's a matter of what you want to believe, what you want to see.
But like the last caller was talking about, should it really be, you know, a point of view, or should it be, you know, what you believe? Isn't there any fact involved here?
In what way?
Well, some things just, there are certain situations where either something did happen or didn't happen.
True, true.
And so... When somebody, I think from what I've read, I see a lot of situations where even when presented with evidence that there is nothing paranormal or supernatural about a situation, there are a lot of people who desperately do want to hold on to that. They've decided that that's what happened and nothing will change their mind.
You find that in everyday life, though. Find that with people that go to church, with people that even go to school and believe certain things go in a certain way. And, you know, I was watching a show on these super kids that do this math. And we got trained as children to do math a certain way, and these kids are coming up with these superb numbers just instantly. And You know, you're going, well, no, that can't be right. That, you know, it's just a matter of what you're raised to believe and what you want to believe. And everyday life, it's, you're always challenged with this.
Okay, so that's an interesting perspective. So I think that's a lot more accommodating than a lot of skeptics would be. They'd want to argue about it. Do you ever find yourself getting into arguments, or you're pretty mellow?
I'm pretty mellow. I just because I have my opinion doesn't make me right either. And that's what you have to realize. Like, yeah, I am a skeptic, and I do want to see the hard facts, but there's always exceptions to absolutely every rule.
So what you're saying is you haven't been presented with enough evidence in any of these situations.
Exactly.
That it would have. Okay.
Exactly.
Interesting. All right.
Have there been circumstances where you've been creeped out or had anything odd happen to you?
As Jeff mentioned, we went to the Weyburn Mental Institution, and I got separated from the group on countless occasions, and I look around, I don't see lights, it's pitch dark, and
they leave the skeptics behind.
I start going, well, you know, no, I don't feel anything. It's just dark. And I feel secluded, and I guess that's more of a primal instinct than it is anything being paranormal. So, yeah, I still haven't encountered anything. We had actually in that hospital a hit on one of the electric meter there, and this thing just went nuts, and we're sitting there going, what's going on. Turned out every time this lady got a call and she had on vibrate, we didn't know if she had her cell phone on, this thing would just boot right up, and I start tracing it back, and I went, you, what do you have in your pocket? She pulls it out and she says, oh, it's not doing anything, and she held it and wouldn't do anything. I said, well, can you hit send to someone? As soon as she did it, this meter would just go nuts. You're sitting there going, well, there's your ghost right there. It's a Motorola.
He has a name.
Yep.
I have a couple of comments from email. One of them is about the sound waves, so I don't know if you want to tackle that or if we can get Jeff number one in. First, we got an email from one of the people Des and I have met over the course of our adventures here on Q Transmissions. I'm going to kind of edit it on the fly, but he'd love to call in, but his son would probably squawk it up if he did. I say bring it on. For the Ghostbusters, he has no real ethical objection to what they're doing. They don't seem to take money from anyone and admit they aren't quite sure what they're seeing. They're basically a group of people with a hobby that he considers kind of goofy, but we're all guilty of that, more or less. Having said that, he would like to address something that was said at the top of the show, and I'm just going to clarify that I was the one that said this, namely that there's no such thing as an atheist in a foxhole. Anyone who makes this claim is welcome to come over to my house and do something I won't repeat on the air, as they view the medals from my two peacekeeping tours to Bosnia. And just to reassure the emailer, I was just making a joke, but good.
We will actually discuss that whole statement at some other time, because I
that is a very good comment. Absolutely. Can I hit the second one? Is that all right? Just a quick note about sound. Hertz measures frequency or pitch as it relates to sound. The energy of a sound wave depends on the frequency and the amplitude or how loud it is. Sound can't travel in a vacuum, so the energy is dissipated in other ways, like heat or deformation of the vibrating object. To the question. When you're dealing with very quiet signals, you have to amplify them a lot to hear them. The amplifier will introduce its own noise and amplify it along with whatever signal exists on the tape. How do you differentiate between what you're hearing on the tape and what's coming through the amplifier?
We actually got a computer program that runs it through, so we don't have to really amplify. We can segregate anything that's in the lower range or the upper range or whatever, and so it's going to take it off that tape from what it views, and then we just replay it on our sound equipment and clean it up. You take out all the outside sounds, all the stuff like talking and whatnot, and what you're left with is what you're left with, you know?
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much, commenter, emailer.
Both of you. That was both wonderful comments. Good way to get a hold of us. We always have the Gmail up, q@cgsr.com, but always a more tantalizing and cool way to call us is to call us at 492-2577 extension 1, 492-CJSR extension 1. The phone lines are open, and we look forward to hearing from you.
So how many investigations has Echoes done right now?
I believe 3, maybe 4.
Okay. And so would you say that Weyburn was your favorite, or...?
Wavern was my favorite just for the sheer history and everything that was supposed to happen. And, you know, if you're thinking that something is going to happen, it's going to happen here. And I was happy to come out of there and saying, ha, nothing happened, you know? So
that feels good, hey?
It does.
All right. So on your Facebook page, you say that anybody can come along to an investigation.
Yes.
Okay. How does this work?
How does it work?
They just call you up and they say, hey, I'd like to go hunt ghosties with you.
Inbox us. And when we have investigations and whatnot, we contact you and say, hey, we're having an investigation. We got room for one or two other people. Would you like to join us?
Wonderful. I like that. And you don't charge anything?
No.
And would you welcome more skeptics, or do you really want to be the token skeptic?
No.
Okay.
All points of view are welcome. That's how you learn. That's how you evolve, you know?
Wonderful. And I think we have someone else on the air.
Caller, go ahead, please.
Hiya. I've got several comments.
Okay.
One, kind of the recordings. It reminds me a bit of the backmasking conspiracy of the 80s, where Satan was putting messages in rock and roll records to corrupt.
Wasn't that Judas Priest?
It was everybody, man.
Oh, it was everybody. Okay.
Even Raffi.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds very similar to that.
You kind of hear what...
Yeah.
There's... Yeah, go on, sir. Did you have...
Another is kind of with the kind of like when the guest was talking about how she was woken up in the middle of the night and saw the ghost. That could be a hypnagogic hallucination.
Ooh.
Can you explain further what that is, please?
Well, hypnagogia is kind of when you're kind of that state of mind just between being awake and being asleep. And hypnagogia is the one where you're falling into sleep, and there's also the I think it's hypnopogic is when you're waking up, and the dream, and kind of a dream state can collapse into your waking state, and kind of having experienced these myself, it can be everything from like alien abductions, and you start seeing things that aren't there because you're actually dreaming them, but you're not asleep yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that is fascinating.
Quite often, people who suffer from sleep paralysis. It's a similar phenomenon.
Yeah, not fun.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Yeah.
Oh, and one other thing.
We have to go.
Okay.
Sorry, we're out of time.
We're almost out of time, but thank you for calling.
Okay. Yeah,
please do call back next week.
Yes. Indeed.
Thank you very much, everyone. Thanks, everyone at Echoes, for coming on down tonight. That was lovely. And
thank you for having us. And if anyone wants to contact us, they do have our website, and they can contact us on Facebook and whatnot.
Perfect. And check our website if you can't find them. We are going to have a link up right after the show. All right. Thanks, everyone, and good night.
Bye-bye.
If America does not exist, the moon is painted on the sky. Sometimes fall up, but you never see, and everything you believe is a lie.
Dinosaurs were invented by God as a test. Our bodies don't rise.